to, you know, as you get older, life gets complicated. And you start to realize how much your parents did for you, and now you got to go out and try to fend for yourself. But that's fine. You're supposed to be that way at this
stage.
That's right. And we want your life to be that way. But if you're living and you're going through things, I mean, we're all going through stuff, right? You know, Tim, you're about to graduate, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't been easy, right? Right? Have you ever felt like giving up?
Yeah.
Right. A few times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. But there's no shame in that. There's no shame in feeling like giving up. The shame is in giving up. Right? When you go back home, if you ever came back home, that's when you would have felt the shame. You know what I mean? When you come home, look, and I know what that's like. I came home from college, but I dropped out after 3 months. And I was supposed to make it. I mean, I went through high school. My average is 95. I mean, I was a good student, right? I was supposed to make it. Now I go off to college, I come home 3 months later, college dropout. Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. I made it, don't worry.
You went back to school.
I went back to school. But it's when you quit, that's when the shame is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and it's a shame not because of what other people think, but because, you know, you don't give yourself an opportunity to grow. Because again, the opposition is going to help us to grow, and we may not like it, but that's what it's going to help us do. Right? I want to look at something today in our Bible. In Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and 1. I'm going to read, let's read from 18 and 1 through verse number 8. So then he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus told the story, and the first thing he said that we ought to what? Always pray and not to faint. Right? The Amplified Version says, always to pray and not turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. Jesus said, don't be a coward. Right? I mean, that's why you ever notice when Jesus, when he told his disciples, he said, why you have faith? He would get on them. Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, he didn't take it lightly that you didn't have faith. It wasn't like, oh, you don't have faith. I know you're not there yet. Yeah. He was letting them know. And in some ways, you know what? If it was really modern time, he'd be calling them a punk. So he says here, don't turn coward.
Wow.
Right? And so, but here when we don't have faith, we use all kinds of excuses and justifications why we can't believe. As if God is doing the same thing. Think about it for a minute. Who's the author and finisher of your faith?
Jesus.
Right. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. So Jesus is the one who gives us faith in the first place. And then we want to go to him and say to him, well, I don't know this yet. Like, he's supposed to understand that. Right?
Right.
As if he's supposed to understand what I did. No, what he says to you, you coward. We don't want to think of that in that way, but think about it. You think Jesus went to the cross and did all this so that we can be struggling to believe after we claim we believe? I mean, you know, I'm thinking about this morning, and I don't want to get ahead, but, you know, the Bible says, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, right? And Jesus said that the Spirit will speak to us the things that he hears Jesus say. And we know Jesus did the will of the Father. So the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit are all in line. They don't say anything different from one another. Right? When the Bible then says, I'll supply all your needs according to, you know, God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. That's true. Right? And then here we are. We say, God's our Father. And then we stand before man. And we're always in the presence of God. So we stand before God and man, and we're struggling, and we go, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. And God's standing right there.
Right.
And we're saying this in front of his face. Yeah. Even though he said, I'm going to supply all you need. Now just think about it in the natural. Here you are standing next to Christian. You're his mother, and you're taking pride in being a good mother, and he goes, I don't know what I'm going to eat tonight. I don't have nowhere to sleep. And you're going to be like, what's the matter with you? That he's making you look bad.
Yeah.
Well, we don't think about that. We make God look bad when we stand in front of him as his so-called children, saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And God said, I'm going to supply all your needs. Right? And here's the thing. If we're saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but the Spirit of God, through his word, is saying, God's going to supply all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we're not being led by the Spirit because we're not saying what the Spirit says.
Yeah.
Right? But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God.
Right.
So that means when we're not doing... being led by God's Spirit, we're not acting like his children.
Right.
So we don't. So we want to stand before God, don't act like his kid, but want him to act like our father.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's hypocritical.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we ain't getting stuff.
Hmm.
We stand in front of people going, oh, God ain't my father. And then we go in prayer, Father, can you give me something? We got to be consistent. That's why I think Jesus gets so upset. And that's why I think he uses these words. Coward.
Wow.
Ye have little faith. In this story here, he talks about this woman who went to a judge who's unjust. And she had a problem. And she had a purpose. She had enemies and she wanted to be vindicated. And she went to this unjust judge. And it says that he wouldn't for a while do anything for her. But he said within himself, this woman's going to wear me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this woman's going to wear me out, so let me answer her. Otherwise, I'm going to be about tired of her. The Amplified is funny the way it says it. It says that he said, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last, she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. He think he's going to get beat up. So he said, I better do something for this woman because she killed me. Right? And Jesus' point is this. This man doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about man. But he still, because this woman was being persistent, said, I'm going to do something. Right? And then Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. Then he said, will God, who is just, avenge his own elect or his own children, which come to him day and night, though he be alone? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 8, again Amplified, he says, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? And I think that's the thing right there. See, some of us have faith, but we don't persist.
Yeah.
And this woman was persistent. Amen?
Yeah.
When you are persistent, you don't give up easily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You may feel like giving up, but you don't give up because you're persistent. You know, some people are, you know, they come once, they come twice, don't get what they want, they give up.
Yeah.
Why do you think this? Jesus says, will he find persistent faith on the earth? Do we expect, and let's be honest, do we expect when we ask God to answer our prayer that he's going to answer?
Sometimes. Most times.
So other times you don't think he's going to answer?
Sometimes I don't think he's going to answer.
Then why are you asking?
I don't know. Sometimes you ask him and you believe that you know that he's going to answer you, and then you say, I ain't going to answer. So I don't know, I do.
You do what?
I do that.
You ask him believing he's not going to answer?
Sometimes.
Then why ask?
Don't know.
Me either.
To figure out if he's
going to
answer or not.
To figure out? But we ask God, I would believe most of us, most of the time, ask God for things because we believe he's going to answer prayer.
Yeah, we believe that he's going to answer.
Right? Otherwise, right? But what happens when God takes a long time to answer?
It's not too much faith.
Why?
Because we do keep knowing that he answers to us.
Mm. But what helps us to not lose faith? Like, okay, because here's the thing. This woman kept coming until this judge turned around. We don't know how long. It just said a while.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how long a while is. A while could have been a couple of days, could have been a couple of months, could have been a year or more. We don't know. She just kept coming. Right? At what point do we stop asking?
We
shouldn't. The tip said we shouldn't. I mean, here's the thing. Why does God... Here's, I guess, is the real question. And maybe this will help us. We would like to think, if I come and ask somebody... Like, we do it each other.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you give me a ride to the store? You either going to tell me yes or no.
Yes
or no.
Keep asking. You would think, we don't have to keep asking. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to keep asking. And yet, God will put us in positions where we do have to be persistent. And the persistence is not because he doesn't want to help us. He does want to help us, but...
How bad do you want it?
That's one thing right there. How bad do you want it? Because some people ask for stuff, and the minute they face opposition, they give up on it. They really didn't want it. They really didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Persistence will reveal to you how deeply you want something. Right? When you have obstacles and things, and that's something in prayer, but also in your life.
Yeah.
If it's a goal you're trying to reach, and you have some obstacles in your way, if you give up, you really didn't want that thing in the first place.
Yeah.
Because if you really want it, you're going to say, I don't care what's in my way. I'm going to find a way around it. I'm going to find a way over it. I'm going to find a way through it. But you don't give up. The same thing in prayer. Right? God will see if you really want a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I believe another thing that happens in persistence is that we develop something. We develop some character. Right? You can develop some character, your faith will develop, because, you know, it's not easy, especially when you share with other people that you're believing on something. Right?
Yeah.
See, now you're going to have to develop some character. Now, if you really have integrity, you ain't going to start changing your game just because your prayer's not being answered.
Right.
People come up to you 3 months later, you still believe in God on that? Man. You're going to say, yeah, and God's still going to do it. In other words, there's going to be some integrity about you, and your faith is going to be genuine, even though other people are going to say, I don't know, you know, they talk about you behind your back. Well, she's still waiting on, she's still waiting on getting married. She could be dying at all. What do you think Abraham's friends were saying to him? He walking on talking about, I'm father of many nations. They go, father of many nations. He's been saying that for 25 years. He ain't got a kid yet. Boy, 100. Sarah, 90. Sarah's 90. She's looking like she's 99. Right?
Yeah.
But you got to maintain your integrity. And part of it is, in that delay of God answering you, are you going to persist in your faith? That's what Jesus said. When the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith in the earth? But we got to hang in there and be persistent. But the other thing I believe too, when we persist, we find out whether or not we really need the thing. Mm-hmm. How many times we pray for something we don't need it? And after a while, God will reveal to you don't need what you're asking for. Right? Or in your persistence, God will let you know there's a different way to meet that need. There's been times I pray for something that I think I need something extra. God, I need you to do this. Bring something into my life. And God will show me something I already have if I just rearrange it to help meet the need. Mm-hmm. Jesus was right when he said, we don't know what to pray for. Right?
Yep.
Right? Paul said it too. We don't know what to pray as the Holy Spirit helps us. But we'll pray in a certain direction, and God, if we are persistent, we may find out, you know what? I really don't need another job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I need to budget my money back.
Yes.
Right? But see, if all you think is, you know, you look at your bills, you look at your money. You look at your bill, you look at your money, you go, Lord, I need some more money.
Right.
And then God's not giving you more money. But if you keep persisting, Lord, I need more money, then God will show you, okay, you need to cut out Showtime and HBO. Right? You need to stop going out. Do you know how often you eat out? Mm-hmm. I don't eat out that much, but oh yeah, go back over the last month. And then you realize, I spent that much money eating out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you can start to change this, and now your friend, hey man, you want to go? No, I ain't going out. Why? I ain't wasting my money like that. And next thing you know, you have, because sometimes you already have it. You already have the answer within you, or you already have the resource that you need. But we pray, sometimes we just pray for something to come on, to be added unto us. When we already have it, we just haven't been using it right. Because it's easy to ask for more. Right? It's easy to ask for more. Some people want a new car, but they don't want to take care of the old car. Right? They want a new car, but they don't want to take care of the old car. Right? And then sometimes God will show you, that car's not so bad. I ain't saying nothing to you, man. I just have to be saying, amen. But God, because you need me.
Yeah.
I agree. I stand in agreement with you.
On that,
you need a new car, babe.
For sure.
But God will say sometimes, you don't need a new car. You need to take that one to the car wash. Put some oil in it. Get them french fries from deep inside the seats in the back.
That's right.
Your car's just fine. No, but really, have you ever thought that way? Where you were so convinced you needed something, and then God will speak to you, and you realize, you know what? And you think you couldn't do without it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you realize, you know what? I can make it. And maybe 6 months down the line, you get that thing. But you made it. You thought you needed it right then.
Right.
Right. And God will show you. But sometimes as you persist, God will reveal unto you. So the persistence in prayer is so that there's times we're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's times that we miss it. But so I think that when we're going through these things, the only things test our faith. But we got to persist. Right? And so when we have challenges, whether it's in this ministry, whether it's in your life, in your school, work, family, wherever, we have to persist,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go to God believing that He's going to answer our prayer. Amen. Because He will. Right? But we got to have a persistent, we got to have a persistent mindset. Let's look at Luke, another area in Luke chapter 11. You may remember this story, what the man who had a friend who came knocking on his door at midnight. In verse number 5 in Luke 11. The man comes knocking on his friend's door at midnight and asks him to lend him 3 loaves of bread because the friend had just got a visitor and he had nothing to give his visitor to eat. And the man, the friend who was in the house said, "Trouble me not," verse 7. "The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." 7. And then in verse 8 it says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So, he's his friend. But here's another instance of somebody who kept knocking at the door and he wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not going to do it at midnight. "Hey, give me 3 loaves of bread." Now, this is hard to imagine, 3 loaves of bread, but, you know, it was bad form if somebody came to your house and you didn't feed them in biblical times. Now people come to your house and you like, "I ain't getting him nothing. He ain't eating my food." You wait him out. Like, "I don't know why he waiting here. He might as well go home. I ain't getting nothing." But in biblical times, yeah, if you didn't feed people, that was a shame on you.
Wow.
No matter what time they came. Okay. Right? It's midnight and the expectation is, oh, you gotta have something for your guests to eat. So he's knocking on the door. He's not going away, and it's midnight. And the scripture says, even though he won't open the door because he's his friend, right? Mm-hmm. He says in verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his name. So the friendship didn't matter.
Not right.
Now, this is not to say our relationship with God doesn't matter, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. It's not the driving thing.
Right.
Right? It's not the driving thing because mm-hmm. we all can have a relationship with God, but if you give up, or I give up in prayer and you don't, you're going to receive and I'm not.
Right.
It's not about the relationship, it's about the fact I gave up. Okay. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't use the word importunity.
No. No.
It's because of his importunity. But watch what the Amplifier said. It said, yet because of his shameless persistence. He's shameless. Mm. I know some people who are shameless for asking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they will shamelessly ask you for a loan, and they didn't pay back the last 2-3 loans you gave.
Yeah.
Loans. Sometimes I wish, man, I wish I could ask like that. To be that bold. Well, I know I didn't pay you back, and I come back to you asking you for some more money. I know people like that.
Right.
Unbelievable. I mean, they just say, and no, not only that, you tell them no, and they just go, and they'll go to the next one. Because you'll talk to somebody, "Oh, yeah, so-and-so just asked, he asked you for money, too."
Oh, man.
There's some people who are like that, but they're shameless. But it's funny about those shameless people who, at some point, they get. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody who gives it to them. Because they'll say, "Yeah, I just lent him money." Why? They say, "He came asking me for money, too." I told him no. And then you talk to somebody, "Yeah, I told him no, too." But he found somebody.
Right.
Right? Or she found somebody. Why? Because they just kept going. Mm-hmm. Right? They were being persistent. And here we are, people of faith, and sometimes we give up so fast.
Right.
And we gotta guard against that. We gotta guard against that. Everything doesn't come easily for us, right? And we got more opposition than the world has because see the devil ain't trying to upset the world.
No.
The people who operate in the world, the devil is going, "Hey, go get that," and they're listening to him, so he's not trying to mess them up.
No.
And resist them, but he is messing them up. Mm-hmm. But he's not trying to get them off track, because they're already off track.
Right.
For us, we're on a track, and he's trying so desperately to get us off that track. And he's putting all kinds of obstacles in our way. But we got to remain persistent, especially when we're praying. And don't give up.
Right.
What made you not give up those times you felt like giving up?
Mom and Dad home saying, boy, you ain't coming home.
Besides that.
I don't know. You think about, like, the short-term benefit and the long-term effect.
Yeah.
Nah. Mm-hmm. It might be easy now, but in the long run.
That's right. That's the thing, right? I mean, and you're right. There's got to be an assessment made.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever we want to give in to our flesh or to, you know, a weakness that's in us,
mm-hmm.
there's a short-term gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel good for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, you won't.
Right.
You know, and so... And it's the same thing. So what are we going to do? Like, you know when Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus said to his disciples, Peter responded. Peter said, are you going to walk away too? When everybody
right.
started to walk away. And Peter said, where am I going to go? And that's how we have to be as believers. If you're going to stop believing God, okay, fine. What are you going to do now?
Right.
If you're going to stop believing God, what are you going to do now?
Wow.
Go it on your own? Oh, that'll work. You couldn't get it with God, but now you can get it without Him. Yeah, okay, believe that.
Wow.
Right, so what are you going to do? We have to persist. We have to continue to believe. I heard this morning, we were listening to Keith Moore while he was on, and he was talking about, he was teaching from Matthew chapter 6, take no thought. You know, don't worry about what you're going to wear, don't worry about what you're going to eat. The birds of the air, don't worry about that. The lilies of the field, right? They're clothed, they don't worry about that. And he said, and some people treat that as if Jesus is making a suggestion. Don't worry. He said, it's a commandment. Don't worry. And he said that he has some ministry friends who... They had to close their ministry. They've been in ministry a long time. They had to close their ministry because they didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of funds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't understand. He said, these people have been doing such good work for over 20 years. They deposited in people's lives for such a long time. He said, Lord, he said, what? He said, this can't be your will. This can't be your will for them to, what's going on here? He said, and immediately the Spirit spoke and he said, because I don't believe. He said, look, they're fine people. He said, but they were walking around and they're saying, I don't know how we're going to make our budget. I don't know how we're going to get through the end of the month. And yet, you want to talk that way.
Right.
In the face of Jesus saying, don't worry about how your needs are going to be met. I'm going to supply all your needs. And you want to be talking that way. And so now I started to think about that. I said, think about that. This is why we just can't believe in it when we're sitting in the chairs. And then we get up and face real life. To me, inside the church is easy living.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy. You're singing songs. You know, everybody's happy. Everything's good. They were just outside eating McDonald's waiting for you to come out. He don't care you're in church. He doesn't care that you're inside the church building. He watching the game. He watching an NFL pregame right now, waiting for folk to come home.
Yeah.
And then when you come home, he said, okay, let's see what you learned in church.
Yeah.
The first thing he do is smack you upside the head with the Bible. Bah! Right? God goes to supply your needs, huh? Right? He starts to show you your checkbook.
Yeah.
Right? He starts to remind you that your kid's tuition at your private school is due next week.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the money. He starts to remind you, Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Money's kind of tight. You know what I mean? He starts to remind you that layoffs are going, that companies love laying people off around the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And getting you worried now. Now all of a sudden you're mad. You understand what I mean?
Right.
But what are we going to do with that? See, we can't say we believe God and then we speak words out of our mouths that are contrary. Like the people Keith Moore was talking about. Can they say on the one hand, God's going to supply all I need, and but yet when they're talking, say, I don't know where the money's going to come from?
Right. No.
But how many times do we do that? How many times are our words inconsistent with our so-called belief? Right? And we can't do that. And we have to persist and we have to continue to just believe in spite of everything that's going on around us. How do we walk anyway? We're supposed to walk by
faith
and not by
sight.
Right?
Right?
Walk by faith and not by sight. Right? So, I look at my checkbook and it has a lot of zeros. With no numbers in front. Oh, it's low, right?
Right?
I look at my checkbook and it's low. That, I see that. That's what I see. But what am I going to say, though? Right? Yeah, right. Again, easy when we're sitting in church. But when we're in the midst of real life and things are pressing and getting on us, right? And you look at your checkbook and then Johnny comes and says, Mommy, can I get a new video game? Boy, you know we don't have no money.
Yeah.
I don't have money to give you.
Right?
What comes out of our mouth? That's why we got to be really careful, right? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, we got to be really careful about what we say. Right? Because Jesus is watching us, and he's going to determine whether or not we're standing strong in the faith or we're being a coward. Right? And he's saying, don't be a coward. And there are too many cowardly Christians.
Too.
They are. They need to go see the wizard.
Like the lion.
Yeah, you remember him? What did he need, Christian?
Courage.
Right? Because he, right? Then there's too many cowardly Christians. Because when things are going okay, we're all right. But then when we get into some trouble, we get some obstacles. I got to tell you the truth. I was reading something this week about problems. And they said that the problem that we have are opportunities for God to display his power.
Mm-hmm.
That when God heals a marriage, when God reclaims a wayward child,
mm-hmm.
when God restores finances, when God breaks an addiction in somebody's life, the power of God was displayed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But if we have a problem and we start, you know, act like cowards, and then God, we deny God an opportunity to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I think we have to look at these problems, these challenges that we have, and say, you know what? If we believe God, and that's a big if we believe God, then we hang in there until he does it. Or you give up. And you either are pleasing in your sight because you persist in faith, or you understand what Jesus is calling you. You coward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You're a coward.
Yeah.
So we got to persist, amen? We got to continue to pray. I mean, whether it's personal issues for yourself or for somebody else, we got to continue to pray. And I think that's one thing that as I'm getting older now, I start to understand a little bit more about how older, you know, the older generation talk about the saints who used to know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give up. Right? They didn't have as much in the way of instruments like we do and the preaching and teaching like we have nowadays. It wasn't only DVDs and on your iPod and all. They didn't have all that stuff. They just came to church, they got a sermon, and but they knew how to pray and they knew how to hang in there. There are people right now who are saved and doing great things in ministry because other people just stopped praying for them, no matter how long they were running the streets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? We get to a point, somebody run the street for a while, you're like, well, I'm turning him over to his reprobate mind. No, you quit. You're not praying as much anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to keep praying. But here's the thing, though. In Luke chapter 11, right after he said that, right, where he says, not because of his importunity, he will answer. Right beneath that, he starts on saying, ask, seek, knock. Right? Mm-hmm. Ask, seek, knock. And again, if you look in the Amplified Version, it's saying keep on asking. Right. Keep on seeking. Mm-hmm. Keep on knocking. Right? And you'll know when if you trust God and believe, do you think God's going to allow you to keep asking for something He's not going to give you, or it's not good for you, or He wants to give you something else to put you in another direction? Are you going to keep asking, God's going to go, and it's going to let you keep doing it? No, God's going to share His heart with you and lead you. He's a shepherd.
Right.
He's not going to let you just wander off. He's going to lead you in the way that you're supposed to go. So we got to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. But, in 1 Timothy it says that we should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubt. Right? The holy hands mean that when we're asking and we're persisting, we gotta have holy hands mean we got a pure life. Mm-hmm. Right? Without wrath or doubting mean that we're not arguing and fighting with some other people. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes we're not getting our prayers answered. We're persisting, but our life ain't pure. Right? We're fighting with other people, mad with people, grudges against people. What did Jesus say? Pastor Hackler always talked about this. When he said, if you come to give your gift and you remember you got something against somebody, mm-hmm. What he says? Leave your gift
and go make it right.
And go make it right. Mm-hmm. Right? That means, like, because what he's saying is, like, even in the middle of your giving, in the middle of your praying, if you realize you got something against somebody, you might as well stop praying and you got to get it right. Right? Because Jesus said when he was teaching on how to pray after he cursed the fig tree, he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. Mm-hmm. Right? So some of us are praying, we're saying, Lord, I don't understand. Well, what's going on in your life? Mm-hmm. Are you living a pure life? Are you angry with folk? Are you arguing with folk? You understand what I mean? Are you not forgiving folk? It's not just a matter of, well, I'm just going to keep asking God. You got to ask God the right way. Yeah, you got to be persistent, but you got to ask the right way, too. So what's the point of all this? The point of all this is that there's never a time to quit. There's never a time to quit. We were talking about this the other day. And you in the Bible study?
Yeah,
thank you. There's never a time to quit. Sometimes there's a time to stop. But we stop it when God tells us stop. Quitting is when we've decided we just ain't going to go on no more. And there's never a time to quit. If you're a Christian, you don't quit. You don't quit. Right? And if you do stop, it's because God tells you, okay, enough of that. Time to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Right? But until then, we keep on. So, if whatever things we got going on in our lives right now or in the future, sit still, man. You can do better than that. You sit still and quiet. Right? Yeah, I know you do. I see you. Yeah.
What am I?
Huh? You don't know?
I did, but I'm just trying to figure out
who. I'm trying to figure out, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. What? The one you're in.
What number are
you? 306.
No, 29.
That's right, that's what I meant. 29. You used to be in 306. They were going to put you in 306, and then they changed it to 29, because 306 had something was wrong with the ceiling. But listen, whether we have something going on, you know, no matter what, whether it's now or in the future, we got to not give up. All right? Mm-hmm. They can't give up. You can't quit. Especially in the face of opposition. And I would to God that what we would do in the face of opposition. It'd be like David. David ran to Goliath.
Yep.
He's the, right? Yep. He didn't, oh my goodness, let me stand over here and throw it from here. Right? He ran to him and said, why? Because he had a thing like, you ain't standing in my way. And that's how we have to be with our problems and our obstacles and our challenges, right? Something is there. If it's not in line with the vision, it's not in line with what God gave us, we have to have this mentality of, I'm getting this thing out of my life.
Right?
Right? And pray to God in that fashion, and then let God lead you to your place of victory. But don't sit in the back like them Israelites lived for 40 days, 40 nights, and every time Goliath starts talking, they hide. And fearful. And then David locked Goliath out, and then here they come running. Yeah, yeah, yeah! And chasing. Well, where's all that? Right? See? Because, see, those people, eventually, their truth colors are going to come out, because when the next challenge comes, they're going to be scared again.
Right?
I tell you this right now, I don't want anybody around me who can't believe in the middle of the fight, but after the victory's won, now going to fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you, you need to just go sit down. You need to sit down, because see, when we were fighting, and when it was up there, you made it hard for everybody else to fight. And now we won, you want to go, yeah, I knew we was going to. You need to just go sit down. Right? But as Christians, we got to, you know, we have to persist. And we got to understand God is looking for us. And if we've been in the church long enough, we are without excuse.
Yes.
We ain't got no excuse to do anything but believe God. None. Right? And don't try to give yourself an excuse, but you don't know enough Bible yet. This is hard. Nobody understands you. Forget all that nonsense. You either believe God or you don't. Right?
Yeah.
And we're either going to believe Him or not in the face of our opposition. Right? So whatever you're going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just believe God. Right? I know that sounds simple, but it is simple. We try to complicate it by trying to do more and figuring out more stuff and all these things. Just simply hang in there and believe God and say, I'm not moving from this place until God answers me. Isn't that what Jacob said? I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Some of us have let go too soon, and we don't have the blessing. But we're not going to let go until we get blessed. And God is still in the blessing business, right? So we're going to hang in there till how long? Do we bless? What did you say?
Until.
That's right. We hang in until. Right? Until we see the Lord move, right? Or He guides us in another direction. But we don't quit. No time to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? No time to quit. How are things at home?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah. How are things in the church? Oh, because you're in school, right? right. Yeah. Yeah, because I know that they've done some.
They got another church over. Coming on another side.
Yeah, you know.
They haven't had the whole thing yet.
Who does?
Our church doesn't have the whole
thing. Oh, it doesn't have. Yeah, I know.
We don't have that one.
Right. The one in the back, right?
Yeah, the fellowship hall.
Yeah. And I heard that. I was like, it's another church, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. I was like, that's. And I was saying to myself, that's kind of... Okay. I didn't know they were coming here.
What's that?
Brother James.
Oh.
Come on in, brother. I didn't know you was coming in here today.
Oh, we didn't either.
Come on in.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we were just having a nice little conversation.
Okay.
How you doing, Chris?
Hey,
how
are you? Good. How are you? Good. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed.
Yeah, they're rolling in the circle.
Yeah.
We have a nice cozy chat.
How are you?
I'm good.
You good?
Good.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
We were just sitting here talking about persistence.
Okay.
And our Christian walk and our belief. But we're going through, everybody's going through some things.
Everybody.
Yeah. And we were just talking about the need to be persistent and to not give up.
Yes.
You know, because Christians shouldn't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were looking at Luke chapter 18, where Jesus was talking about the unjust judge and a woman who came to him saying, "I need help." And he said, "I want to help you."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but that woman kept coming.
Yeah.
And he said, "This woman's going to wear me out."
Mm-hmm.
And then he answered her.
Yes.
You know, but Jesus said that God will answer us too.
Yes, he will.
You know, but we got to be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us aren't persistent because we give up.
Yes.
So we were just talking about the, you know, things, because we all go through things.
Yes.
Ministry, our jobs, family, you know, finances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we go through things and we believe God, but, you know, are we going to be persistent?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the answers don't always come real quickly. And that's what we were talking about, you know. And I think everybody can relate to that, especially now.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be so much opposition to the church and to the people, you know, and, you know, we have faith, or we think we do, until the opposition comes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we run like cowards. And we were reading the Amplified Version. Jesus said, you know, are we going to be cowards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, God looking at you, and when you don't believe, he believes that's cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we think it's okay. Well, because I've been believing for a long time. It's been a whole year. And God hasn't answered my prayer yet. Right?
Yes.
And we talk about it all the time. I talked to my wife the other day. We were talking about it. I said, you know what? Was it really 25 years for Abraham? Because we act like it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, we go through something for 25 days.
It'll be crying.
25, 2 days.
Right, 2 days.
Or even say 25 minutes.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, we go all crazy, you know, and it's like, was it really 25 years for Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
And if he's the father of the faith, then we got to understand. Hopefully it won't be 25 years for us.
Yes.
But if it's less than 25, until you get past 25, you ain't got nothing to complain about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, 25 is not God saying we got to go through 25. But until you get to 25, don't you say nothing.
Yes.
Right? Because if Abraham can believe up to 25, so can we.
Yes.
You know, and so we were just dealing with that because it's something that right now I think we all are going through these challenges, you know, in our lives. You know, and all of us got different ones.
Yes.
Right?
But we can't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tendency is to want to give up.
Yeah.
No one likes to... The you know, climbing up the mountain. Sometimes you want to be going downhill, you know what I mean? Because it's easier to walk down, than to try to, you know, to climb up. But but it's building your strength, and it's building your character, and it's building your integrity, and it's, you know, it's giving you experience, and it's bringing you to a greater level of spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes we miss that because we're too focused on the immediate, and God has this big picture in mind.
Exactly.
You know, so... That's all we were dealing with, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just not to give up.
Yes.
You know, no matter what things look like on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because if we do, I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
You stop believing God, what are you going to do?
There's nothing.
Right.
There is nothing.
They have this saying that, you know, you look over the other side, it's so greener.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go over there,
it's worse than where you're coming from.
Right. So when you start believing God, it's like, you think something over there is better, but there is nothing.
Right.
No.
That's right. Yeah, it's like the grass is always green on the other side. No.
Still a desert.
And you still have your issues, and none of us are going to live a charmed life. I mean, we were talking about, we were kind of laughing at Christian because he said, well, Right now, he lives in Chalmers. But that doesn't last for long.
Yeah.
You know, but especially the more we're going to be doing for God, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, I remember talking to Brother Tony a couple years ago. If you're really committed to God,
mm-hmm.
then you're a real threat to the enemy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you're going to take, he's going to come after you more.
That's right.
When you're not really committed, he's not going to commit forces against you.
You're not a threat.
Right. So why worry about you?
Uh-huh.
He's going to worry about the one who is standing strong, who's mm-hmm. going to be an example for other people, who are going to be able to lead other people into the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one he's going to try to come against.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Because if I can knock you off,
mm-hmm.
and other people are behind you and believe in you,
mm-hmm.
and then,
take them
then
out too.
The rest of them are going to go away discouraged, disillusioned, yeah. and all other kind of things.
That's it.
And so the ones who are really fighting, and so if you have a lot of opposition in your life, that's why Jesus said, listen, you go through stuff, he said, you get persecuted for my sake.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Exactly.
Right? And you should rejoice.
Yes.
Right? Because they did the same thing to the prophets before
mm-hmm.
you.
Exactly.
Right? You know, and you think about those prophets, man.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
We talk about Jeremiah. Who wants to be Jeremiah? All those prophets were facing opposition.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
They hated
him.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
exactly. They threw him in a muddy pit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All these prophets.
Right.
Right? All the prophets were not warmly received.
Exactly.
Right? The leadership was always, they couldn't stand them.
Exactly.
Right? What's the one, Micaiah, when they were slapping him around?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he said, get him out of here, because the king was like, get him out of here. He never has anything good to say about that.
Exactly.
Right? They didn't want to hear the truth.
No.
Right? So as people of God, we got to expect opposition.
We have to.
It's our legacy. Mm-hmm. It's our inheritance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. When they say, no cross, no crown.
Yeah.
But they don't want to carry our cross.
Yeah.
Right? Because we were talking before, is that we get where people, believe these preachers, oh, yeah, you're going to have this, you're going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, really?
Right.
Where is it? When you get the reality of it, you say, no, you have to go through this and that struggle. What have you? Like, oh, what happened, Lord? I was supposed to have my mega dollar home and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. And you know, I'll put a slap someone and they would instantly heal, but I'm still right. praying for them. They still in the hospital bed, you know.
Right.
There's a truth we have to get in, you know, inside us, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't get truth, not hype.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we, you know, the thing is though, but God is true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing we just got to stand on, no matter what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know. If we really believe, you know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. We have to believe God mm-hmm. in the face of everything that's contrary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the devil wants to put the contrary thing up into your line of vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're believing on your marriage to be healed, and he just wants to, you know, keep showing you how he ain't changing.
Right.
He's still doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, they're gonna make sure you can see everybody else happy marriage.
Why are they going through an IM?
Right. You know, see how he treats her, that's how he should treat me. He ain't good. Lord, I'm tired of this man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because he wants to show you to see if you're gonna give in to the sight
mm-hmm.
and instead of the vision.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That God mm-hmm. is giving you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle, but that we need each other though.
Yeah,
that's true.
To help, because what I find is that a lot of Christians are sort of quietly ashamed
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they really aren't believing God anymore.
Yeah,
they've really given up.
Yes, yep.
That's why you see people are peeling away from the church more and more
yep.
these days.
Yeah,
they really have stopped
yeah.
because you know what? Some of the preaching has been interpreted as almost like get rich quick preaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was saying, yeah, exactly.
You know, whether it's money or other things. You know what I mean? Like, okay, just ask God, it's gonna get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And forget changing your conduct and your behavior and getting out the club and forget all that.
Exactly.
You keep doing that. Just ask God. Yeah. And God goes, I don't care what he told you. That's not how it's going to work.
Exactly, exactly.
You're going to have to change. And so I think people are getting discouraged these days because that get-rich-quick preaching is not coming to pass.
It's not. It's not.
And so now they're starting to doubt God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
And so the people are struggling in sort of behind the scenes and quietly because who wants to be in church every week and not put on the, you know, like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. We all come to church. We're okay. You're okay? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. God is good. But you got an issue.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Exactly.
Right? You got an issue.
Uh-huh.
And some of it has been with you for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But you don't feel like you can come and be transparent and clean with it.
Right.
And so you struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You struggle, and you're struggling by yourself. And that's exactly where the devil wants you, because God said it's not good for man to be alone. That's what he said, right? When he saw Adam, it's not good that the man be alone. And yet, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to isolate us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now we can get into our little pity party, and then we can get hypocritical, and then we can start, you know, being, you know, looking at other people and not liking them, and being jealous of them, and wondering, God, you've done something for them, how come you haven't done it for me?
Yeah.
And now you're in a spiral that you're just going down.
Uh-huh.
You know? But we need to be support systems.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
When you find somebody who has a like-minded faith, you should be able to be going and saying, you know what? I'm having, you know, there's some issue in my finances, man.
Right.
You know, I don't even know your credit score. Yeah, I don't need to know the detail. But you say, I got an issue in my finances, and I've been believing God for a breakthrough, and it just hasn't come. I need you to pray with me.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? And this way, if that person is really like that, they will come to you, and maybe they won't see you for 3 weeks. Maybe they won't see you for 3 months.
Right.
But they'll see you, and they'll say to you, hey, man, how your finances going?
Right.
Yeah.
Because, and glory to God. And you want to know something? When people do that, you know they've been praying for you.
Yep. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell them something, and the next time they see you, they have the whole conversation with you, and they don't ask you nothing about how that situation
you
was,
know they
haven't been on their heart, exactly. They haven't been praying about it.
I'm telling you, it's true.
Yeah? They haven't been praying about it.
Yep.
Right? So I know, I mean, when people come up to me and they don't say to me, you know, how you doing? You hanging in there good? Your strength is good? You know what? You see me running around, but you don't think I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't been praying for my strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You can tell. You can tell what people have been praying about because it'll come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And so when they see you the next time, hey, man, how's your daughter doing? Because you told them.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And they've been praying about your daughter. And you know what? They're expecting a good report.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Because if you're praying about it, you want to know. Okay, what did God do? I want to know. What did God do?
Right? Give me good news.
Yeah, you want to know. But if you ain't been praying, and then you go, oh yeah, don't forget, man, pray for my daughter. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How's she doing
anyway? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you forgot about me.
But we, you know, the thing is, we have to support one another. But even, no matter what, we have to make sure that we do the best we can not to give up.
Yes, that's true.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up on God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it's been. You know, we're going to die believing God. Isn't that right?
Yes. Amen. Yes, that's right.
Amen.
There's no other way.
Right.
There's no other way.
We're going to die believing God. Because God's faithful. And we're not going to give up on him. Right? Yeah. Right? And Jane, one other thing we had said earlier before you came in, we talked about Wednesday too, was the difference between quitting and stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't quit as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We will stop
if
God tells us to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But when we tell ourselves to stop, yeah. we quit.
Yes. Yeah. It's different. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Difference.
And that's not what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't do that because, you know, we quit and we can be so close to a blessing and a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. For ourselves, mm-hmm. but also for other people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are connected to me, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of people connected to me. I don't know how many connected mm-hmm. to you or to you or to you, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of people connected yeah. to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And if the life force goes out of you,
it goes out of them.
That's true.
A lot of other people, that you know, their lives are going to be diminished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, we have to have this sense of accountability and responsibility. Mm-hmm. Somebody else's life is hanging in the balance on me making it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's
you right. see what I mean? Yeah. And when we get off ourselves, when I start to realize you might suffer if I give up, then I can't give up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when I'm just thinking about myself, mm-hmm. then I give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, the business saying something about her brother Baron, who's suffering in Jamaica. Mm. And, you know, we're helping him out. But, you know, he always called for Christine, because Christine always put the effort into helping him out and everything. Mm. So, you know, he always calling, I need help. He's paralyzed.
Mm.
So she said, I'll do it for you. She said, I care about you. I'll do that. You know, other people, her family, whatever, they won't do nothing. Mm. You know, whatever. But, you know, I said, look, I said, we was coming down here. I said, we are going to do something.
Right.
You know. So, like you say, he knows that, you know, we're not going. That's why he, you know, like he said, being persistent. He persistent with her. Because, you know, he like, oh, you know, he called, you know, the phone rang. And then I said, Baron, I always call on Sundays, you know. The phone rang. He like, hey, you know, he called Pam. Pam, me did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's like, I know. I just said that. You know. So, but he's persistent because he know that he can depend on us because we have helped him in the past, mm-hmm. and we continue to do so. When the others, you know, they're like, well, I'm this and that, I can't do it, but they're going on cruises. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't we know it?
Yeah.
we know that story. Yeah. But see, you say he's persistent because he knows you can find help. But that's the thing. God's going to help us, so why wouldn't we be persistent with him?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
You know, mm-hmm. that's what the thing with that unjust judge. Jesus said, this man's unjust.
Right.
And he yet eventually helped.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to help. The man didn't want to help. God wants to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to him, you know, we don't be so quick to give up.
Yes, yes.
Because he wants to help us, and God is going to help us. Mm-hmm. But he's going to do it in his timing, and, you know, I just, it just hurts my heart to see so many people giving up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, giving up on God, because there's no other hope for you.
There isn't. Right?
There's no hope.
Right.
Right? And so, I don't want to say, you know, there's some Christians who got good teaching, they, you know that they believe God for a time, but then something happens in their life, and it just makes them just get so disillusioned.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they just have given up on God. They don't realize that now they're in a situation that is truly hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you turn to yourself or you turn to the world, it's over for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? It's over for you. So, you know, we gotta, you know, I believe this, that our struggles that we go through, we gotta go through them. We must prevail. So that other people can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They need to know.
They have to know.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, we're talking about the Christians who don't want to reveal their struggle in church.
Mm.
It's important to reveal your struggle. Because when you get your victory, if I didn't know you were struggling, it's not going to mean anything to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All I'm going to say, that's why some people go, they look at you now, oh, he got that big, huh? They need to know you were sleeping in the car.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's true. That is true.
I'm telling you.
Right? Because now that house has a different meaning.
Uh-huh. Right. Yep.
Uh-huh. Because they can see that God brought you from something.
Yeah. Exactly.
But if you're too proud to say you're sleeping in the car right now, then when you get the house, it don't mean anything to me. I go, oh, look at him. He lucky.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just got something. He had money or whatever.
But I need to know when you had nothing.
Yeah.
I need to know you found, when I say need to, you understand what I mean. I'm not like trying to get in your business. But I'm saying, we need to share.
Yeah, be transparent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have bankruptcy? Mm-hmm. And now, you doing what?
Right.
Oh, you used to be on drugs?
Right.
And now, you, what? Mm-hmm. You see, I need, that now means something.
Exactly.
Right? But if you struggling with your alcoholism, you don't want nobody to know. And now you walk around, you're like, oh, I got myself together. People look at you like, so
what? Well, like you said, a lot of church people do that. You know, they come to church like, well, they don't need to know. They don't need to know. Right. They don't need to know. And I'm like, well, how can they see God through you if you know, you just, you know, shut up like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
But, you know, when I just started, you know, to pursue my way in Christ, I remember one day I went to this new members meeting. So we were like in a circle too, mm-hmm. and they were talking about, you know, discuss some of the things that happen, you know, in your life, what you would like to see happen now, mm-hmm. you know, that we can pray that God can turn stuff around and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, I started telling them about my situation and how life, you know, take me from one place to the other. And that was personal, mm-hmm. very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And about a couple of days after, somebody else could talk about it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was so upset, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, if I can, you know, talk to you about, you know, what I'm going through and nobody else mm-hmm. on the outside knows about it, so it made no sense. So right there and then I used to be like, you ain't know my business, you know,
right.
I ain't telling, you know, right. I go and I will listen and mm-hmm. do whatever I have to do, but to open up and, mm-hmm. you know, or get up and see a testimony about what's going on with me, I won't do that.
Right.
Because I've been there and I feel bad
right.
for what they did to
yes.
me, you know.
Yes.
So it's kind of really coming out of me right now that I can share my problems mm-hmm. or my situation or my prosperity or whatever mm-hmm. to somebody. And even if they go back and say something, I know God get the glory.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. I don't really care,
right.
you know, what
right.
anybody mm-hmm. wanted to say. So you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is good for you to open up that somebody mm-hmm. can see where you're from, where you're coming from,
right.
and to where you've been.
Yeah.
You know, that because right. it's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what God has done for you and who get the glory.
Right.
He get the glory.
Right.
I give God thanks and praise for that breakthrough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But just like they said, we're talking about spiritual javelins, because we've been to a church where, you know, to get a little information, and the pastor used to throw it right back at you. Well, there's some people in here who doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the heck are you... And then I'm like, man, this is crazy. That's why I say, know the word for yourself.
That's right.
You know, no, they said, this is not God.
Right.
You know, like, well, there are some people here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I could clearly look at you and see your problem. But yeah, you're going to talk about me because you're holding the microphone. I said, okay, I'll hold back. I say, but this is not God.
Right.
This is not God, like you say. But we can still be transparent